Hancock, Sidney James, Bill Kerr, Patty Jakes, and Kenneth Williams in...
Hancock's Half Hour.
Oh, well. December the 31st. Another year over.
Yeah, it's been a good year for me personally. The first year I ever really felt relaxed and at ease.
Yes, of course. You've been out of work all the year, haven't you? It's been very hard for you, hasn't it? I don't know how you've kept your reason. I'm not even sure that you have. There must be some marbles missing somewhere. It's not natural. It's not natural to be as idle as you are. You could write a book on how to be lazy. If you weren't so lazy.
Don't keep getting at me. It's not my fault I'm weak. It's my war wound that keeps playing up with me.
Oh, please, please. Don't give me that stuff about your war wound. Talking to a man who's seen it. And knows how you got it. Little scratch on the arm from the officer's nails as he ripped your stripe off. Now, let's get one thing straight. We're not having a repetition of bone idleness in 1957. You're going out to work.
Well, don't exaggerate. I wasn't bone idle last year. I must have done some work somewhere, even if I was just helping around the house.
You did not. You did not. Nothing. Not a dicky bird. I've got down in my diary. Everything that goes on in this house goes down in my giant chemist shop bumper lock-up diary.
Hey, I didn't know you kept the diary, Tom.
Of course I keep a diary. All great men keep diaries. Old Peppies and... Boswell, Shaw, all we literary urbans. Every little thing that happens in my life goes down in this book. Well, you never know. They might want to publish it in years to come or put it on the radio every day. Have the old harp in front of it, you know.
Who's going to be interested in your diary? What's happened in your life that could be of any value to anybody else?
They will probably marvel at me perspicuity.
What's that?
It doesn't matter what it is, as long as people marvel at it. You've always underestimated me, haven't you? Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Right from the first moment I carried you into this house. You've never seen me, have you? You've never said it before. I know, I know.
Well, I was...
But you've never reckoned me, have you?
Yes,
oh,
I
yes. Have. Never suspected the spark of greatness that pulsates within me eager breast. Nothing I couldn't have achieved if I'd set my mind to it.
I'm going to bed.
Yes, it's about time, too. It's nearly lunchtime. You've had a hard morning sitting there cracking nuts, haven't you? And seeing my crusted Madeira off by the bottleful. Go up to bed, you rat bag. None of them realized. I could have been somebody. I didn't feel like it at all. I've got it in me, you know. Oh. All in my diary. There's not an entry in here that doesn't serve to remind me of what I could have been had I chosen a different path. Personal diary of Anthony Hancock, Gent. 1956. Here's the key. Let me unlock it now. January the 1st, 1956. Dear diary, the beginning of another year. I sense a year of great importance in my life. I feel fate will take a hand, and if I'm equal to its challenge, I know this will be a year of great achievement. This morning, I had an egg for my breakfast. January the 2nd, pussy ran away with my dinner. January the 3rd. Oh, it's raining. But what is rain to a man of greatness? I shall go out. January the 4th. I'm in bed with a cold. January the 5th, I fed the goldfish. January the 6th, I cleaned my bike. January the 7th. Pussy brought my dinner back. January the 8th.
At last, drama. Bill cut his finger. I bandaged it. Should I devote my life to this?
Calling Dr. Hancock, calling Dr. Hancock. You are wanted in casualty. This is an emergency.
Cass, isn't there any other competent doctor in this hospital? I can't do every operation that comes in. 74 before lunch isn't that enough for them?
Doctor, you're the world's foremost authority on everything. The other doctors don't dare operate while you're in the hospital. You'd better go, Doctor.
Good grief, woman, I can't. Don't you realize I'm just about to start on a delicate brain operation?
Who?
Smile. Scalpel.
Scalpel.
Faucet.
Faucet.
Mirror.
Mirror.
There it is. Good heavens, what a spy. Look at that. No wonder I'm a genius.
Calling Dr. Hancock. Will you please come to casualty immediately? This is an emergency.
Oh, heavens, what's wrong?
I'm not feeling very well.
Very well, I'll come. Bandage me up, nurse. I'll finish it when I get back.
Ah, there you are, Hancock. Thank heavens you're here.
Good afternoon, Professor Carr.
This is Professor Sigmund.
How are you?
What seems to be the trouble, gentlemen?
Dr. Hancock, we're faced with the most baffling case in medical history. Only you can solve it.
Naturally.
I shall operate.
But you don't know what it is yet.
Do you know a better way of finding out?
Well, we could ask the patient.
We've tried that. He won't tell us.
Oh, how tiresome. Oh, very well. Lay my instruments out, nurse.
Which one, Doctor?
The violin and snare drum. The violin... Oh, they soothe me while I'm thinking.
Well, if you're ready, Doctor, I would deem it an honor to assist you during the operation.
There's nothing you can do, really.
There must be. Perhaps I could turn your music for you.
Excellent idea. Shall we begin?
That man must be the greatest surgeon in the world.
I am.
Doctor, before you begin, I must warn you. The most eminent surgeons from Europe have flown over to watch you perform this operation. They're up there in the gallery.
Are the stalls?
Standing. I trust that you've no objection to them watching.
Not at all, but do tell them when I get to the exciting bits not to rustle their popcorn bag. Hi, gentlemen. I'm ready.
Scalpel. Suture. Scissors. Get the scissors, quickly, scissors. Good. Faucet.
Faucet.
Here we are. That's got his pajamas off. Now, gentlemen, this is it. Watch carefully. You might miss something the speed I go at, and I can't do it again. It wouldn't be fair on the patient.
That's amazing, fantastic. This operation normally cannot be done in less than 7 hours. You have done it in 23.4 seconds.
Yes, I'm sorry I took so long, but while I was at it, I removed his appendix, his tonsils, cleared up his catarrh, and straightened out his amateur. Well, if there are no other operations for me to attend to before lunch, how about a quick game of rugger?
It's impossible. We haven't got time.
I'm talking to the patient. When I cure somebody, I don't mess about on that.
And for his services to the advancement of medical science, for his work on behalf of all mankind, surpassing even the achievements of Mr. Pasteur and Curie, I have great pride in awarding Dr. Anthony Hancock the Nobel Prize for this.
January 11th. Bandage fell off Bill's finger.
Finger tan blue. Took him round to the doctor's. Don't think I'll take up medicine after all. Still, there are plenty of other fields one can achieve greatness in. I'm glad I get this diary. Just flicking through it, one can see more and more the chronicles of a great mind. February the 8th, went to the pictures. Rotten film, the smashing flavour of the month. Winked at girl coming out. February the 9th, chased mouse across kitchen with broom and poker.
And back, Roger! Back, I say! You may be king of the jungle, but you've met your master now, haven't you? Yes, go on, stop then, sulk. Look at me face, go on. That's it now, hop, hop, hop! Come on, the stool! On a stool, I say! On a stool! That's it!
Stay there. What a great lion tamer that boy is. The biggest sensation I ever had in my circus. Captain Mad Jack Hancock.
Oh, he's so brave, Father. He tackles those beasts bare-handed with no fear at all. He must have nerves of steel.
Yeah, that Roger's killed three trainers already. Well, you think it was a mouse the way that boy deals with him? I don't know how he does it. He makes them lions do tricks I've never seen before. Sticking your head in your mouth, yes, but not in as far as your kneecaps. What a chaskin for it.
Oh, he doesn't care. He is wonderful.
Are you in love with him, Gladys?
Can I be blamed if I am? Every time he looks at me, I feel I could jump through a hoop for him.
Well, you and Hancock have got my blessing. But stay away from him till after the season. I can't afford to have him distracted. One slip of concentration in the cage and he's at it. Can't afford to lose him. I'll be ruined.
Shh. Here he comes.
Hi, Officer Jones. That's the act I should be doing when we open tomorrow night. What do you think?
Sensational, son, sensational.
Yeah, I thought you'd like it. I can do anything with those cat's eyes. I was going to have them riding around on motorbikes, but, old Roger chewed his petrol coupons up, so let's cold box that.
Yeah, well, it don't matter. It's a great act, boy, a great act.
By the way, the lions haven't been fed today. You better sling another clown in.
What a man. Oh, I hope he tames me like he does those other wild beasts.
Oh, well, Miss Gladys?
Why, it's Billow, the sad-faced clown. Billow, why don't you take your makeup off when you're not working?
I've taken it off, Miss Gladys. This is me.
Oh, what a funny face you have, Billow. So sad and ugly.
I'm glad you like it, Miss Gladys. Miss Gladys?
Yes, Billow.
Miss Gladys, I've been standing outside in the pouring rain for hours just looking at you and waiting for you.
Oh, how sweet. Goodbye, Billow.
I'm soaking wet.
Well, of course you are. It's been raining. Good night, Billow.
Miss Gladys, I've got two tickets for the village dance. Would you like to come?
Yes, I'll dance with you. You're just a clown.
You only think of me as a clown, but I'm a man as well. Underneath this grease paint, there's something else.
What?
Dirt. But there's a heart as well brimming over with love and devotion for you.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. I couldn't be seen out with a clown.
But Miss Gladys.
On your way, clown.
Mad Jack Hancock.
Yes, Mad Jack Hancock, the greatest lion tamer in the world. Miss Gladys is not for you, clown. A very dark indeed. Heed him not, Gladys. He's just a poor, jealous clown. Don't be bothered with him. Come to my caravan. I'll change into my Oxford bag. Grab me uke and we'll jump into my car and leap forward into the night. Ah, ha, ha,
ha. Alone I stand. She's gone with him. I must do something to protect her honor. The poor innocent girl is blinded by his too obvious good looks. I must save her, but how? She will not listen to me. Billow, the lonely clown. An accident, that's it. An accident in the lion cage tomorrow night. Then I'll be rid of him and claim Miss Gladys for myself.
Well, this is it, Jack. The biggest test of your career. The biggest town we've played. And a cage full of fresh lions straight from the jungle.
Do be careful, Jack. These lions are so savage. They've never seen a man before.
How many are there in there?
Six.
Not enough. 3 dozen, I want. And throw some crocs in. Might make it interesting.
What tricks are you going to do with 36 savage lions?
I curl myself up, lay in the middle of the cage, and they have a game of rugby.
This is madness. You won't be able to control them.
Don't worry, the lion hasn't been born that can get the better of Mad Jack. Makes your mind any easier, I have my Derringer in the top of my boot with live cartridges.
Before you go into the cage, Jack, tell me, while you were drinking champagne out of my slipper last night, did you mean what you said?
You mean about marriage?
Yes.
My dear girl, Mad Jack never gives the elephant a bun after it's done its dance. And off be ringmaster.
Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, introducing the world's greatest lion tamer, Captain Mad Jack Hancock, who will enter the cage completely unarmed to face 36 savage man-eating lions.
Not now, below. Mad Jack is on.
I thought you might like these.
Oh, below. What are they?
The cartridges from Mad Jack's Derringer.
Oh, he won't have a chance if they turn on him. We must stop him.
It's too late now. He's in the cage.
Now listen, lads. I curl myself up and lay down in the middle. When I blow the whistle, you kick off. No scratching or you'll be sent off. Claws in, Twickenham rules. Let's have a good clean game. All right.
Oh, look. Just as we heard. They're not doing what he says.
I knew they weren't trained enough. They got him cornered. He's in trouble.
Get back, I say. I got a gun here. Get back. Aren't you brutes? I'll just have to shoot you. There. There. I can't. What's this? No bullets. This is Billow's work. Very well, bare hands it is.
I can't watch it. They'll tear him to bits.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we will send in another 36 lions for Jack to tear to pieces. Is there no limit to this man's courage? Yes, the greatest lion tamer of all time, Captain Mad Jack Hancock.
February the 10th. In hospital, suffering from shock. The mouse turned on me. I jumped on a chair and I fainted.
Oh, well, fair's fair. If I remember, he was a big mouse. And they can turn nasty when they're cornered, you know. Not that I couldn't have been a great lion tamer. Just that I think it's such a worthless profession for a great thinker. Erudite philosophers like me shouldn't waste themselves like that. Let's have a flip through of these pages. Live in history, this, you know. What drama happened in July? July the 2nd. Went to a dance. Didn't click. Walked home and went to bed. July the 3rd, my birthday. Threw party. Nobody came. Went to bed. July the 4th. Ah, went to fair on common. Had threepenny going roundabout. Little bus was full up. Had to sit in aeroplane instead. Wing Commander Hancock reporting.
Ah, oh, come in, Hancock. You know why I've sent for you.
I can get there. E-64.
E-64 it is. According to specifications, it should top well over 2,000 miles an hour.
Tommy, good chance.
Well, quite frankly, no one knows exactly what will happen when you get up there. All we know is that at that speed, metal does peculiar things. Once you've gone through the heat barrier, metal can melt into jelly.
What flavor?
Same old Hancock. does nothing frighten you?
Nothing in the air, huh?
Well, now, here's a scale model. Here's a scale model of the aircraft. As you can see, the design is quite revolutionary. No wings, vertical takeoff. You lie flat on your stomach in the cockpit, and you'll notice it's approximately half the size of anything else we have.
I'm a bit worried about that,
Don. Ah, so you are human after all. What's worrying you, eh?
There'll be enough room for my massage.
You're a cool customer. No different now as you were when you destroyed the German Air Force in 43.
Little old, doesn't it?
Good luck, Hancock. England is proud of you. It's in the hangar waiting for you. Everything depends on you.
If anything should go wrong, sir, promise me I...
Anything, Hancock.
Don't abandon the project, sir. Keep him flying. Melt all my medals down and build another one. There are plenty of other good chaps waiting to have a crack. Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye, Hancock. Sergeant James!
Yep.
Show Wing Commander Hancock to his plane.
Yep.
There she is, sir. All ready for you. We've been up all night polishing it. Put your favorite white wall tires on for you.
Thank you, James. You're a good egg.
Oh, well, time to put her through her paces, I suppose.
I want eggs for tea when I get back, James.
Oh, did I add his moral fiber?
Ready to start, engine?
Don't forget it's a vertical takeoff, sir.
I know. Don't bother to open the hangar door. I'll go out to the fan light.
Hancock calling control tower. Leveling out at 1,800 miles per hour. Everything going to plan. Fine plane, tell the designer chap it.
Control tower. Control tower to Hancock. We're worried about possible sabotage. The mechanic who was working on your aircraft is missing. Think you should come down. Land immediately. Repeat, land immediately.
Nonsense, she's going beautifully. I don't know a thing about any mechanic. Taking her up to 2,400 miles an hour.
Hancock to control tower. Something strange is happening. There's a peculiar knocking sound on the windscreen.
Seems to be coming from outside the plane. I'm slowing down to 1,800 miles an hour. We'll slide cockpit open to see what's wrong.
Good evening.
It's an arse cold here. You can ask me.
What's that?
I say an arse cold here. You can ask come in.
There's no room. Get off.
Oh, don't be like that. Move over. I'll sit on your lap.
Get your boot off me joystick. Do you mind? Who are you?
Me? I'm a mechanic. I was still working on the tower when you took off. Honestly, frightened the life out of me. I mean, I wasn't expecting it. I was just sitting there singing happily to myself, and then next minute, whoosh, I was up here.
Sit still. I can't control the plane with you jumping about.
Well, I know you can't get comfortable. All these knobs and levers here sticking in me. Here, what's this one?
Don't touch it!
Oh, it's the ejector seat. Come back. Where are you?
I'm out here, sitting on the tail.
Well, now, stop messing about. Now, come back in. It's no use sitting out there sulking. I can't drive the thing.
Well, go into a dive so I can slide down.
All right. I'll try this lever. Hello. You might have told me there was another ejection seat.
All right, well, we're both out here. Now what do we do?
Oh, look, we're going up.
Well, what do you expect when we're both sitting on the tail?
Isn't life funny? In the paper this morning, the star said it's my lucky day.
If we keep going up at this rate, you'll be able to tell them they're wrong.
Now, come on, we've had a little sky laugh and a little giggle. Let's go down.
How can we go down? Look, we've finished the engine falling off.
Oh, it's all right. I've got plenty more down there.
We want one up here. We're going into a dive. We're out of control. We can't get back to the cabin. Give me a piece of string.
Oh, I'm scared. Oh.
Don't panic, man. Don't panic. This is the RAF. Where's that stiff upper lip?
It's above this loose, flabby chin.
Give me that string. I'll get you down safely.
Well, Hancock, you've done it again. Saved the plane. How did you manage sitting on the tail like that?
Quite simple. I took a bit of string, lassoed the controls, and steered it home. Lucky I was a cop with Oxford, eh?
Oh, brilliant work, Hancock. You've won another medal. You're a brave man, Hancock. You'll go down in history as the most courageous and most decorated pilot in the RAF.
Last time I go on the roundabout. Been in bed all day with dizzy stones. Oh, well, it wasn't my fault. That bloke cranking the handle got a bit worked up. I remember Mother walking around holding me hand, had a job keeping up with me. Oh, well, so much for me, diary. Just one more entry to be made. December the 31st. Did radio show today. Sued by a man who wrote The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Oh, well, you can't please everybody. I'm going to bed.
This has been Hancock Half Hour, starring Tony Hancock with Sidney James, Bill Kerr, Hattie Jakes, and Kenneth Williams. Theme and incidental music composed and conducted by Wally Stott. Show written by Alan Simpson and Ray Galton. The program which was recorded was produced by Dennis Mayne Wilson.
You can hear another Hancock Half Hour at the same time next Sunday morning.